Let us pray. Open your word to us, O God, that we might hear what you are saying. Open our eyes that we might see what you are doing. And open our hearts that we might receive your word this day for your church and for your people and for your world. In and through Christ we pray. Amen. The text for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 10. The text reads as follows. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Indeed, we are grateful this morning for the opportunity to share with the Swickley Presbyterian Church this weekend, in your Campbell weekend, the opportunity to be with the officers on yesterday and then with Justice Ministries yesterday afternoon, and then this morning in service and with the discipleship hour. I am grateful for the relationship between the Pittsburgh Seminary and this congregation, which perhaps only in Western Pennsylvania could span over 100 years. Almost everything in Western Pennsylvania is over 100 years. But I am grateful to be a part of now a legacy of fellowship and friendship with this congregation and your pastor, and the opportunity to walk together in the challenges that now face the 21st century church. And oh, I do not want to be a pastor of a 21st century church these days. But we will certainly pray for you, Pastor Derek, and all the ways in which you will lead this community faithfully. And we will commit to always being the resource that Pittsburgh Theological Seminary has been. For nearly 230 years, we have been a place of resourcing clergy, communities of faith, and Western Pennsylvania. I am particularly grateful this morning for the presence of my wife, the Reverend Chinda Ennis Lee, and all of our children. Thank you for coming all the way up to Swickley to support me in this ministry on today. There is a word for the Lord found in the scripture I've read, but I would emphasize two simple verses, 6 and 7. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for sheep." For just a few moments, consider the lessons from the gatekeeper, or the gatekeeper's lesson. Our passage today, if I'm honest, is one of the more and perhaps most confusing of Jesus' teachings. Here in this 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, we find one of his perennial sayings. You know, and if you grew up in Sunday school, you know, these are the parts of the I am sayings of Jesus. I am the shepherd, I am the light, the way, the truth, and the life. I am the gate. But he begins this teaching about entering the sheepfold through gates. And then he goes further about who enters in and when they enter in and the gatekeeper that opens the gate for the shepherd. And then he talks about voices and thieves and bandits and all manner of other things. And let me just be honest with you, it is a confusing 10 verses. Perhaps I'm the only one that will be honest about it. But I know that I am in good company because the gospel writer himself says Jesus had to use a figure of speech because they were confused. They didn't know what he was talking about. I mean, so confusing is this passage that a few verses later, towards the end of the story, the people listening start murmuring and saying, "Is he crazy?" They have no idea what he's saying. And if it was confusing in the first century, then I've often been puzzled at the church's confidence in the 21st century about what this text means. For despite the church's confidence about this passage and Jesus as the gate for the sheep, I want you to know that this teaching is a bit more clunky and cumbersome than we would admit. You see, Jesus is teaching in both a metaphor and allegory. He is using a set of characteristics that will be extremely familiar to first century Jewish and Pharisaic and Gentile folks in order to convey the relationship between himself and his disciples. So in this teaching, disciples or followers are sheep. And Jesus is the gate. Why? Because he says so. So what he says here is a basic relationship, which is, you know, some element, but the challenge here is while this is a relational teaching, we in the 21st century don't have the full context of the allegory or the metaphor to make it make sense. Because I'm pretty sure here in Sewickley, we don't have too many folks that raise sheep or spend any time with shepherds. You see, sheep went out to pasture and they would go and graze and they would eat and eat and eat wherever their hearts took them or where their taste buds would take them. And it was the job of the shepherd to keep an eye on the sheep while they were in the pasture. This could be done with a sheepdog in some cultures, or by taking the shepherd's crook and nodding and poking and prodding, or simply calling out to the sheep, and they would turn and come back. But at the end of the day, the sheep needed to return to their pen, and so it would be a fenced-in place just for the sheep. And that fence, of course, would have a gate. But only the sheep were permitted in the pen, and the gate was the way to make sure that the sheep got in, were secure, and didn't get out. Jesus, in a different scripture, in fact, next week in the lectionary, will say that he is the shepherd. But that's not this week's sermon, thank God. The church has traditionally understood that this teaching means that Jesus is, as he would say later in this gospel, that when he says he's the gate, we have interpreted this in Christian tradition as being the only way. But that's not what Jesus is saying in this passage. He would say later that he is the only way to the Father. But here in this passage, he is saying something a little bit more nuanced. And I must admit, I've read this passage for a very long time and have always taken for granted the church's understanding that the passage is an affirmation of Jesus' sole arbiter status of our soul, that the only way to the Father is through the Son, and that is call of the Christian to go through the sun. And let me be clear so you know the president of the seminary is indeed Orthodox. That is in fact true. There is no other way to God but through Jesus Christ, his son. That's just not what Jesus is saying here today. In this 10th chapter, Jesus is not teaching about his status, but perhaps our status. He's teaching us about his relationship with his disciples and his followers. But perhaps more significantly, he is giving us this teaching in response to an action that happened in the previous chapter. In chapter 9, we encounter a blind man who was blind from birth. Jesus sees him and heals him of his blindness. And while he is excited, he does what anybody that has been healed would do. He tells everyone about his healing. And yet, when the religious leaders and rulers of the day discover that this is the same man they've known from birth to be blind, they don't celebrate with him. Instead, they condemn him. They say he was sinful. That's why he was born blind. Who is this person that would heal him? And perhaps this healing is not even of God. And so they condemn him, ostracize him. Jesus finds out that the blind man is being condemned and decides to tell this teaching. And so, in reading this, I have some observations. While I don't know a lot of what Jesus is talking about, there are three affirmations here that I can see quite clearly that have implications for us as we think about our own journey as disciples. The first is simply stated. Jesus knows his sheep, and his sheep know his voice. This is an important concept because Jesus does not say that the sheep know who the other sheep are, or that the sheep know what the shepherd is doing. All he says is, they know my voice, and I know them. So in context, Jesus is saying to the religious rulers of the day, who would judge him and ostracize this blind man, he's saying to these religious rulers, the 21st century or the first century version of simply, y'all mind your business. You religious rulers who want to convey purity and righteousness, y'all just sit down. I got this. For us, it's just as simple. Jesus knows us, the sheep, and we sheep know his voice. Problem is, we get stuck on who's a sheep and who isn't. Too many times in our churches, we get stuck on what others are doing and whether or not they're Christian. We get stuck on whether or not what they're doing passes the litmus test of being a Christian. Dare I say, in some places, like the religious rulers, we can risk wasting our time trying to determine someone's authenticity of following Jesus and not recognize that that is not our responsibility. We are not called to smell of the sheep. We are called to listen to the shepherd's voice. God's work with and for our neighbor, like Jesus' healing of this blind man in chapter 9, is none of our business. It's actually God's business. What God is doing does not require our sanction or our knowledge, but our compassion and occasionally our participation. We cannot know what our neighbors are experiencing in the form of healing and growth and opportunity by simply looking from afar, but every now and again engaging our neighbor to discover what God is doing in them. And in God is doing something with them, then as one of my mentors would say, God might be doing something for you. For if God is blessing your neighbor, then that means he's in your neighborhood. And if he's in your neighborhood, you better open your mailbox, get on your porch, and wait for him to come see you too. And if you've been blessed, you might just go see what God is blessing. Jesus, we may not know who they are, but Jesus does. And he is certain they're in. My second observation of this text, which stems from the first, is that sheep respond. They don't just hear the voice of the shepherd or the gatekeeper. They respond to the voice of the gatekeeper or the shepherd. Jesus' metaphorical and allegorical teaching contains a second factual statement of the reality of the time. Sheep respond to the voice of a shepherd. In fact, sheep respond to lots of different voices. I feel I need to stop here and redeem sheep for all time and humanity. For if you spend any time in a church and heard any preacher talk about sheep, you've heard them say that sheep are dumb or stupid. Beloved, sheep are not dumb. They're just different. Science, modern science has proven, in fact, that sheep are not dumb. Sheep can actually distinguish the voices of up to 50 different individuals. They have good long memories. They build kinships and friendships. They have their favorite sheep and their not so favorite sheep. Sheep, in fact, have the capacity to heal themselves for when they have an ailment, their mouth takes them to the herbs that will cure their ailment. And so they may go off looking for that because they might not feel well. Sheep have different irises than other mammals and can see in complex peripheral ways. Yet somehow in the nomenclature, because we have seen sheep do things that we did not understand, we call them dumb. But perhaps sheep just march to the beat of a different drum. And in that way, disciples are more like sheep. I've never liked the metaphor of calling sheep dumb and then saying, we are the disciples, we are the sheep. Because that's like a backhanded way to call disciples dumb. If you're going to call disciples dumb, just call them dumb. Excuse me. But no, sheep are different. They do things differently. And like us as disciples, we too do things differently than everybody else. We pray to a God that sometimes answers demonstrably, but other times answers quietly. We believe in things that we cannot see. We are curious about the things that the world has settled. Like sheep, we're not dumb. We're just different. And therefore, hearing Jesus as the one who calls us, if we are the sheep, means that our obligation, or rather our fine-tuning, is that when the shepherd calls, we respond. We don't just hear, we actually go. For the image is, the shepherd comes and goes. The gate swings both ways. And so wherever the shepherd is, and wherever the voice calls, that's where the sheep are supposed to be. But how many times has Jesus called and disciples have been slow to move? Beloved, Jesus is still calling on his sheep. And I would submit that when we hear his voice, it is risky business to follow the shepherd's voice. But if we trust this shepherd, then we should follow him. Lastly, Jesus, in his capacity as both the gatekeeper and the shepherd, is responsible for our protection. and our guidance. He says, I am the gate for the sheep. And the gate is the place of examination, authentication, and a passageway, but it's also a place of protection. For the gatekeeper shepherd makes sure that only sheep get in and out. Nothing else and anything else is not allowed in. The teaching is that no matter what takes place in the life of us, in this sheepfold, or in the life of another sheepfold, Jesus is the arbiter. He is the one that helps to determine who his sheep are. In fact, he goes in chapter 10 just a little bit further and says, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, but I must bring them along also, and they too will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. I don't know about you, but I hear all of that as good news, because that means no matter what is going on around me in the sheepfold, I really only have one obligation: to hear what the shepherd wants us to do. And whether or not folks in other sheepfold look like us, talk like us, smell like us, the gatekeeper's lesson today is that the shepherd knows all of us. And just like he knows all of us, he calls all of us in and out, hither, thither, and yon, to every space and place where he has need of his sheep. And so, when we follow the shepherd, then we bring just a little bit closer his kingdom into this world. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.